Bob Lewis taught me to fly, and one of the things I learned in learning to fly was that every airplane has three sets of instruments on the panel. There's a set of instruments which tells you what the engine is doing. The basic function of the propeller is to keep the pilot cool. When it stops, he begins to sweat. But there's a set of instruments that tells you what the engine's doing. Then there's another set of instruments which tells you what position the airplane's in. It nose up or nose down or over on its wing or just attitude in relationship to the surface of the earth. Then there's a third set of instruments which tells you where you are on planet Earth. You're 100 miles east of Denver or whatever. Navigational instruments. Three sets of instruments. When you fly an airplane, if you're successful over the long haul, what you do is scan the instruments. Your eyes are constantly scanning. You don't just stare at the engine instruments and know that the oil pressure is okay and the RPM's okay, because the airplane may just kind of turn over and fall out of the sky. Well, the engine's doing very well. So you scan the engine instruments, and you scan the attitude instruments, and you scan the navigation instruments, and you're constantly scanning. Some of you are kind of like the pilot who said, well, we've got bad news and good news. The bad news is we're lost. The good news is we're making excellent time. I want to share with you four instruments tonight. Four. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four. Now, the title of this little homily is How to Finish the Race Even with the Navigators. Let's see, is that about the same time? Yeah. What time is dessert down there? About 10:15, 10:30, Bob, something like that. You East Coast people are going to be tired. No, we'll get you out of here in decent time. But I want to talk to you about four things. Two of them just touch on very briefly. The first one is the basics. The second one is the promises of God. The other two instruments that you want to scan as you navigate through life, as you fly your navigator career, as you direct your ministry for the next 20 or 30 or 50 years, whatever it happens to be. The basics is one thing, the promises of God is the second thing. I want to talk to you about biblical loyalty. We'll develop that theme. And the fourth thing I want to talk about is to be believable, to be authentic, personal development. So those are the four things we'll talk about tonight by way of our subject. And Terry's already committed our time to God in prayer. So let's go back to point one. The basics are always basic. Balanced wheels last longer, run smoother. I can still remember my early years of listening to messages by Doss and others on the wheel, the Christ-centered life. Balance. And you simply won't finish the race with or without the navigators unless you make it your business to devote yourself for the rest of the cruise to the basics. To keep Christ in the center of your life. It's just that simple, gang. No magic formula. No easy victories. The vertical spokes which relate us, to the Lord, the Word of God and prayer. Fellowship and witness. And by the way, witnesses, I went through my concordance yesterday just to check this out. About 115 times the word witness is used as a noun. It's used as a verb less than 10 times. We are witnesses. And the temptation today, with all of the media and all of the publications and everything else, the avalanche of materials is to be caught up with evangelical Athenianism. Fads are transitory. Don't jump on every new bandwagon that comes along. Every get-rich-quick scheme. There are no shortcuts. Sandy, years ago, got a letter from a lady who said, the TMS doesn't work. And he wrote back and said, dear madam, the TMS was not meant to work. You were meant to do the work. People are looking for gimmicks. There aren't any. Gimmicks will kill you. Evangelical Athenianism, always telling and hearing some new thing. Novelty is not necessarily a virtue. Now, be open to new ideas. Yes. But beware of novelties. Stick with the basics. I don't know how many hours a week you devote to the Word of God, prayer, fellowship with believers, meaningful contact with non-Christian people. But watch it. Scan that instrument. Don't ever let your eyes stay off the basics instrument for too long a period. I like the new wheel, the obedient Christian in action. All the commandments which I command you this day shall you observe to do obedience, that you may live and multiply and possess the land. It'll take you 5 to 10 years to learn to live the Christian life, another 5 to 10 years to learn to multiply, to know what you're doing in the life of another person, and the rest of your life to possess the land. Deuteronomy 8:1 is the biography of every believer. And it takes time, but the key to living and the key to multiplying and the key to fulfillment is obedience to the Word of God. You will be blessed if you do it, Jesus said in John 13:17. Not simply knowing it. If we want to avoid evangelical Athenianism, we also want to avoid evangelical Gnosticism, getting big fat heads crammed with enormous quantities of theological information. Fat heads make good targets. There are no rubber bullets out there. So don't neglect the basics. That's all I want to say. Scan that instrument. Don't let it get away from you. It'll kill you. Now, the second thing I want to mention is the focus of our faith, the promises of God. We wouldn't be here today if Dawson Trotman hadn't laid hold of some promises from God. Faith without a promise is like writing a bad check. Have you ever written a bad check? You thought the money was there, or somehow or other you failed to deduct a check you'd written, and your balance was mistaken, and all of a sudden you wrote a hot check. There simply were insufficient funds, and the bank was kind enough to send it back to you and lower your balance by several dollars more. Your negative balance. Now, faith without a promise is like writing a bad check. We hear a tremendous amount about faith today. The question is, faith in what? What has God said He's going to do? The opposite is also true. Having a promise from God and not exercising faith, not praying about it, is like having money in the bank and not writing a check. And I do want you to scan the instruments this week with regard to the promises from God. What promises do you have for your own life? What has God said He's going to do for you? Do you have them in your journal? I don't know. I hope most of you, if not all of you, have some kind of a journal. Write down what God says. Keep track of it. I use a loose leaf notebook that's about the size of my Bible that fits in my little case. And what has God said He's going to do for you? What are the promises you're claiming for your own life? Secondly, what are the promises you're claiming for your family? What has God said He's going to do for your family? Your wife, your husband, your children, parents, others. And thirdly, what has God said He's going to do for your ministry? What are the promises of God you're claiming for the ministry? I trust when you get out alone and when you meet with other people for prayer this week, these little prayer groups you have tomorrow morning, just share around what some of the promises of God are for your own life and for your family and for your ministry. And then focus your faith on the promises of God. Solomon said, "Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified, which thou hast spoken to thy servant David." That's the heart of prayer. Just going to God and say, "Lord, you said this." That's 2 Chronicles 6:17. Just verify it. Let me see it in experience. And make the focus of your faith the promises of God. Faith in and of itself doesn't mean much. Faith in a word from God means a great deal. And you simply won't finish the race, the Christian life, your navigator career, or any other ministry, apart from what God has said He will do for you and for your family and for your ministry. You won't finish. You will run out of gas, like Indiana Jones over the Himalayas. And then it's a hairy ride, for those of you who've seen the film. The focus of our faith is the promises of God. And if you're not sure what God has said He's going to do for you, or for your family, or your ministry, then make that a high priority item this week while you're here at the Glen. And say, "Lord, I'd like a word from You for my life, for my family, for the ministry." Whether it's a new ministry assignment or whether you're going back to a place where you've been for a while, the focus of our faith must be on the promises of God. Let me pause there. Any comments, questions, clarification? I'll move to point three, spend a little more time on the issue of biblical loyalty. Have I communicated clearly? Do I have any room here, Bob? How far can I go? Is this okay? Great. Let me come in. Yeah, you awake? Let's see. Bill Ball, Columbia, South Carolina. I'm Skip. Is this Mrs. Ball? Mm-hmm. Outstanding. How do you do? Super. Now sit up straight. What in the world are you doing there? Come on. Okay. Potter, get your back up. Okay. Good heavens, you're going to fall asleep. Come on, sit back. Get your back right against the chair. All right. Shoulders up, chin up, all of them. Can't believe it. I'm going to be like Vance Havner. The Southern Baptist had a motto, "Million More in 54, and he stood up at the convention and said, "A million more like what we've got now, and we're through as a denomination." What? Okay, hallelujah. Are you gonna pull my cord? Oh, okay. Okay, are you going to unplug me? Okay, are we clear on the basics? Are we clear on the promises? Okay. AC, you in there?
I'm here.
Okay. Bifocal vision, huh?
First thing goes your eye.
That's right. That's it. It's the 5B syndrome. Bald, bifocal, bridge, bulge, and bunions. And some of us are a whole lot closer than others. Oh, hallelujah. Good deal. Okay, you ready for point three? Probably ready for the benediction you want. Okay, I just want to make sure you're there. All right. There are two kinds of people the navigators don't need, never have, never will. Nor does any other organization in the body of Christ. We do not need clones. On the one hand, we don't need renegades on the other hand. We do not need zombies. We don't need Zorros. Let me talk to you a little bit about renegades, Lone Rangers, and then we'll talk about clones. Several things about Lone Rangers, people who are not team men or team women. They always burn out. Loners never finish the race. They always drop out. We run the race with steadfast endurance, but we run it with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. If you want to finish the race, you have got to be part of a team. Corinthians 12 says that God has set the members, every one of them, verse 18, in the body, as it pleased him. God has gifted you with some strengths, with some talents, with some abilities. He has anointed those gifts and strengths with the Holy Spirit. The body of Christ needs what the head of the body has entrusted you with. God has also gifted you with some weaknesses. Your weaknesses, your lack of ability, your lack of skill, is just as much a gift of love as your strengths. You and I have weaknesses, and it intensifies our awareness of how much we need the other members of the team. And when you think of Corinthians 12 and you read all of those gifts, and you may have one or two or three or a half dozen, but no one has them all. But all are needed and all are necessary. And I've only been on the staff 32 years. But I think one of the things that has helped me is a conviction early on that although the team needed me and does need me and will need me, I need the team even more. And if the Holy Spirit engraves that conviction on your heart, you'll make it. Other works. The doctrine of other works is still in the Big Dipper. My sweetheart said last night, "Hun, ask him how many of you are familiar with the illustration of the Big Dipper?" Good. Okay. The wheel and the hand and evangelism and follow-up, and then the handle, pace setting, other works and world vision. And Doss used to preach those seven messages over and over again. I never got tired of it. I needed it. Other works. Look not every man on his own things. Contemporary society says, do your own thing. I did it my way. Beautiful melody. Wretched philosophy. When it communicates the idea of independent spirit. Infants are dependent. Adolescents generally are independent. Adults are interdependent. That's what we're talking about. The only people who finish the race are interdependent human beings. Samuel 14, 6 and 7 tells us about Jonathan and his armor bearer. I'd like you to just look at that for a moment. Because God wrought a great victory in Israel. 1 Samuel 14, 6 and 7. Jonathan said to the young man who bore his armor, "Come and let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord, to save by many or by few." And his armor bearer said unto him, "Do all that is in thine heart. Turn. Behold, I am with you according to your heart." This young man isn't even named. But Jonathan and this young man who bore his armor climbed the pass, defeated 20 enemy soldiers in hand-to-hand combat, and then the whole Israeli force was able to go through the mountain pass, surprised the main Philistine garrison, and God wrought a great victory in Israel because one man said, "I'm with you. What's on your heart?" Someone who bore his armor. Let me encourage you to be an armor bearer for your spouse. Bear his armor or her armor. Carry a shield for him or her. Be an armor bearer for your kids. Those of you who have the privilege of having children. Carry a shield for your children. A spiritual shield. A shield of prayer. One of the promises that God and I, that Buzzy and I have claimed for the children and continue to claim. Isaiah 49 verse 25. I will contend with him who contends with you, and I will save your children. Carry a prayer shield for your children all the days of your life. Be an armor bearer for your colleagues, for the other people on the team. Carry a shield for them, a promise shield. For your wife, your husband, your children, your colleagues. Renegades won't make it. Loners. The other side of the coin are the zombies, the clones. They don't finish the race either. The reason they don't finish the race is discouragement. Self-esteem must be or must become a function of intimacy with Jesus Christ. It is not a function of perceived status in the organizational pecking order. Now, I know what's going to happen. You're going to be here this week, and you're going to look around and think, man, what am I doing here? All of these spiritual giants, leaders, 10-talent people. Oh, man. I hope they don't ask me any questions. I just kind of sit off here in a corner. And you're comparing yourself. You're deriving your sense of self-esteem from what you perceive to be where you fit in the whole structure of things, rather than deriving your self-esteem from intimacy with Jesus Christ. If you are looking for a perfect organization, I urge you to get a refund in the morning. If you're looking for a good organization with a perfect Savior, you're in the right place. Jesus says in John 21, 15 through 17, lovest thou me more than these? These what? I love it. One of those beautiful ambiguities in the Bible. These fish? These disciples? These villages on the hillside? These provinces? Doesn't say, does it? Wonderful. That way the Holy Spirit can fill in the blanks. If we love him, we will feed his sheep. He said to Peter, if you love me, you feed my sheep. Peter, when he wrote 1 Peter chapter 5, said to the elders which are among you, feed the flock of God. Peter didn't say, you know, feed my sheep, I'm the Pope. He said, you feed his sheep. Always his sheep. In John 21, 1 Peter 5, always his sheep. Never my sheep. There are only three things you can do in the life of another human being. Teach, pray, and model. That's all Jesus Christ did. That's the Alpha and Omega of the whole discipleship process. That's exciting. Most of us, on a good day, can remember three things. Teach, pray, and model. All it'll cost is your life. That's all Jesus ever did. It's all Paul did. You teach, you communicate the word of God, you articulate, you pray, and you're an example. We don't manipulate people. We don't play junior Holy Spirit. Let me read to you. This is great. Oswald Chambers wrote this. God calls a man. If you're a single woman, God calls a woman. Gives him a vision. Anoints him for its fulfillment. Obedient to the call in the light of the vision and the power of the anointing, his labors are blessed with unusual results. Others take notice. They want to get in on the act. They ask the man how he did it, the assumption being that if they did as he did, they would achieve as he achieved. He begins to analyze what he did. He comes up with the methods which were born out of the call, the vision, the anointing. If enough people ask him how he did it, he will publish a manual setting forth the methods that he used. Then anybody can buy the manual, apply the methods, and get the same results. Or so the idea goes. Somehow the call, the vision, the anointing are forgotten or ignored or subordinated to the mechanics. As though God could not do another thing with another man. As though God had run out of calls or vision or power. As though God had no new ways to do what had never been done before. How distinct the servants of God in the Bible. How different their ways of doing things. How incredible their effectiveness. When each was himself as God called and envisioned and anointed him to be. God has not changed. He wants to do the same today with those who will yield to him, be led by him, allow him to teach them his ways. Do not make a principle out of your experience. Let God be as original with others as he was with you. I think Oswald Chambers was saying in a beautiful way, don't be a clone. And don't produce clones. God wanted one like you. The body of Christ needs one like you. One. Let me pause there. Any feedback? You want to wrap on that for a moment? Sir?
Where is rebuke for that?
Where does...
Rebuke?
Yes. All articulation of truth. Exhort, comfort, rebuke, teach. Yeah, that whole... the articulation of truth. Good. Thank you.
Where do methods come in?
They're like tools on a workbench. Same with materials. But we focus on the individual and his skill and his ability and his capacity. And certain tools he'll be comfortable with, certain tools he won't be comfortable with. What we do is we expose him to tools, methods, materials. We have a structured program here at the LDI. We have a 2-year curriculum. We will communicate certain things in a certain order and have handouts and notebooks and all the rest. But the focus is on the individual and the motivation and the encouragement of his gifts and his talents and his abilities and his strengths. And if we succeed, he'll take those tools, figure out how to make them successful where he lives. And he won't say, well, now this is the way we did it here, so this is the way we do it here. That's what we want to avoid. Good. Thank you. Hank?
What's the I stand for?
The I.
LDI.
Institute, Leadership Development Institute. Was that your question?
I thought you were making a pun, LDS.
Oh, no. No puns. Okay. Good. Point four, be believable. Be authentic. Keep growing. Howie Hendricks tells us about the man who died age 21, buried age 64. And there are no plateaus in the Christian life. We're either climbing or we're losing altitude. Spiritual development, intellectual development, emotional development, physical development. Spiritual development we've already talked about. Intimacy with Christ. Keeping a journal. Praying every time you have a quiet time. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Intellectual development. Bob Foster used to teach us over and over again, leaders are readers. Read broadly. Don't get in a rut. Don't read just spiritual books or just management books or just history books or just any kind of books. Now, major in one or two things, that's fine. But constantly expose your mind to new areas, new arenas. Same with magazines. We have got to know what people are thinking and saying. And if we only read certain Christian periodicals, we'll end up talking to ourselves. And the tragedy is we start believing what we're hearing. Emotional resources. About, 15 years ago, I was speaking to a staff conference in Southeast Asia, and the Lord gave me a message from Timothy 6:17, the living God has given us richly all things to enjoy. And it really struck a responsive chord. Many of the gang who were committed, effective, mature missionaries, many of them were on the edge of burnout. And so we had a good time. And some of you need to plan to take more vacations. You need some 5-minute vacations. You need some 5-hour vacations. You need some 5-day vacations. But one of the things that you've got to do between now and the time you leave Saturday is to plan out the rest of the year in broad brushstrokes the vacations you're going to take, especially the 5 hours and the 5-day ones, or longer. You have got to back off. You've got to disengage. Liberals have blown the war effort by denying the deity of Christ. Evangelicals blow the war effort by denying their own humanity. I have a simple philosophy of ministries. Golf in the spring, fish in the summer, hunt in the fall, ski in the winter, preach in the off-season. even Jesus had to disengage. Luke 5:15-16, the multitude came together to hear, to be healed by him of their infirmities, and he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You've got to back off. You've got to develop hobbies. Indispensabilityitis is inflammation of the ego. It's fatal. We won't be authentic. We won't be attractive. We won't be believable. Paul Drake had a big evangelistic bash several weeks ago in Southern California. And Leroy Imes was the speaker, and Richard and Audrey Gregory took a couple that they'd been witnessing to. Richard's a NAV rep in San Bernardino. And there was a program, and it was combined with some other Christian organizations. It was not exclusively a NAV function. And after the whole thing was over, this man that Richard had been witnessing to trusted Christ as his Savior. And going back, he said, the guy that sang the song there, he said, he wasn't believable. He was a phony. He said, Now, the guy that spoke, referring to Leroy Imes, he was believable. He was authentic. And he was right on. Leroy is believable. But people look at us and they say, you're believable or you're not believable. And if we're not constantly nurturing our own emotional resources, if we're not building memories, if we're not disengaging, if we're not fun people to be with, we won't be believable. Which leads me to the physical thing. We get ragged, exhausted, bags over our eyes. And we preach about the abundant life. And wonder why there are not more converts. Jesus Christ said the night before he died, I glorified thee on the earth, I finished the work thou gavest me to do, not anybody else. There is enough time and energy and money and strength and grace and courage to do everything God has asked you to do. Corinthians 15:58 says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Make sure it's the Lord's work you're doing. I am impressed by the fact that every gospel refers to the feeding of the 5,000. And every gospel records the fact that there were 12 baskets of food left over. Now, why in the world would the Holy Spirit make such an emphasis on 12 baskets of food left over? Not just one, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all mention the fact that there were 12 baskets left over after feeding 5,000 men. I think what the Lord was saying is, you can finish the life, the race, and have a little bit of excess. Now, when you consider 5,000 men, 12 baskets of food is not a superabundance of excess. That is a thin margin, but it's a margin. And I think one of the lessons for you and me is, plan to finish life with a margin. Paul said, I will very gladly spend and be spent. Right. But plan to finish with a margin. Don't run the tank always on E with the little red light flashing at you. Be a believable human being. Pace yourself. Be authentic. Spiritual development, intellectual development, emotional development, physical development. Buzzy and Ken and Dave and I went to Village 7 Presbyterian this morning to hear Dr. Ray Steadman from Palo Alto. And dear, godly, white-haired man of God. And he says, you know, every now and then I look at myself in the mirror and I wonder, what is a young man like you doing living in such an old body? I thought, oh, what a beautiful way to put it. Some of you could say just the opposite. What's an old man like you doing living in such a young body? Unless we pace ourselves, we won't be attractive, authentic. Scan that instrument. Am I believable? Am I attractive? Is it authentic? Jesus Christ was authentic. they were attracted to him. Four instruments if you want to finish the race. Climbing. Never neglect the basics. Focus your faith on the promises of God. Avoid being a renegade or a clone, a Zorro or a zombie. Know what your strengths are and what your weaknesses are, and make them available to the team. And then be authentic. Keep growing in every area of life. And when you cross the finish line, you can hand Jesus your personal basket full of breadcrumbs. Well, we're thrilled you're here. It's going to be a great week. And now you've had your spinach, and you can start enjoying the rest of the feast. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the joy of being together, the joy of this fellowship, the privilege of being part of this team. And we look back upon our heritage, Doss and Lila, Jim and Marina Downing, Lauren and Lucy and others, with great gratitude and thanksgiving, praise to you for the rich treasure of our heritage. And we look forward with hope . And Lord, I pray tonight for each one of these beloved men and women that the Spirit of God will engrave upon their consciousness the necessity of scanning the instruments all the days of their lives, making sure that Jesus Christ is the center of life, keeping all of the spokes in balance, making sure that the focus of their faith is not merely some warm, fuzzy feeling, but rather some immutable statement from the heart and mind of God. Lord, help them to know their strengths and their weaknesses, to be neither clones nor renegades, zombies, lone wolves. Keep each one in balance, vital to the team. And sensing the importance of the team in their own individual lives. Then give them the grace to plan their schedule in such a way that all the days of their lives they take little 5-minute vacations, 5-hour vacations, 5-day vacations, to plan it in, and then to be spontaneous, to avoid the pitfalls of workaholism, to be fun people to be with, to be attractive, authentic to all who know them. Lord, thank you for each one. Make this week life-changing for your glory. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.